We are on Gimel Lamed Aleph. We finished the four different views of Beis Hillel's position. We went through the question of why each one maintains his own independent position and doesn't follow the others. There were reasons to challenge each of them. And now the Gemara is going to resort to what it always has to resort to when it has an intractable machlokas, which is, we go to our later Amoraim, the ones who are known as the poskim, and we say, well, what did they believe? And if we can figure out what they believed, then we'll have an answer as to how we pass him. So we refer to Rabbi Yochanan here. The word is ve'af. It's the last word on the line, about midway down the page on Gimel Lamed Aleph. Ve'af Rabbi Yochanan savar gizera mishum mashkin shezavu. Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rabbi Yitzchak that the issue is a gizera because of, it's a decree, because of the liquids that come out of fruit. Meaning, just like we prohibit the liquid that comes out of fruit lest you squeeze the fruit, so do we prohibit the egg that comes out of the chicken, not lest you squeeze the chicken, but lest you squeeze fruit. So, how do I know that Rabbi Yochanan believed in that? So it's a little bit, you have to stick with it in order to catch it. Rabbi Yochanan Rami Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda Umeshani, because Rabbi Yochanan, in a completely separate context, objected to an apparent contradiction between the words of Rabbi Yehuda in two different places. When you see the word Rami for a question, like Riminhu, so the verb that is drawing on Rami is to throw. Like Rama Pisa Ladikla, a person throws a clod of earth at a palm tree. So he's throwing two sources at each other. It means that I have a contradiction between two sources. That's what you mean when you say Riminhu or Rami. So Rabbi Yochanan threw Rabbi Yehuda at Rabbi Yehuda, so to speak, in a context having nothing to do with eggs. Umashani, and then he resolved as follows. Tnan, on the one hand, I have a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Ein sultan es haperos lahotzi mehen mashkin. We quoted it last week. You don't squeeze out fruit in order to produce juice. Vim yatsu me'atzman asurin. And if the juice comes out on its own, it is prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im la'ochlin. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, wait a minute. He says, if it was for food, if your goal in bringing in the fruit was for food, hayotze me'en mutter, then whatever comes out of it is going to be permitted. Ve'im lamashkin, but if on the other hand you brought in the fruit because you wanted the liquid, hayotze me'en osur, then whatever emerges from them is prohibited, because that's a juicing kind of context. That's the end of the first quote. I brought it on your sheet as source number one for easy reference. So you'll have the Mishnah from Shabbos, even though it's straight out of the Gemara. But that's our first source. Alma, we see, kol ochlin the Rabbi Yehuda ochla de afras hu. From this we see the Rabbi Yehuda believes that food is fundamentally food that breaks away. And when he says food that breaks away, what he's referring to is something that we discussed back in the beginning when we talked about the egg that comes out of the chicken, where we said that if you have a chicken that's meant for food, then any egg that's inside it that emerges is just food that's separated from food. So he says, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that as long as you brought in the fruit for eating as food, not for juice, but for food, then
the juice that breaks away
is food. Correct. That's one piece, and it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is essentially saying, then therefore squeezing the fruit into food is going to be fine. Very minu. But here's our second source, and here I actually suggest that you take a look at the source on the sheet, source base, because it gives you context. The one that the Gemara quotes starts in the middle of a conversation, so it's a series of two Mishnayos in Erevin. First Mishnah that we have, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rosh Hashanah Shahayyare Shamatis Aver. If this is in a time when they have only one day Rosh Hashanah some years, where Elul, if the witnesses see the moon in time, Elul ends up being 29 days, and then the 30th day is Aleph Tishrei, and you move on. There is no 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So what if you're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, you don't know if it's going to be 1 day or 2 days, and your concern is you want to be able to travel in different directions. So what do you do? So, meaning, on one day you want to be able to travel outside of the town to the east, and then the other day you want to be able to travel outside the town to the west, beyond the 2,000 amos of the Tchum. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Shayyare Shema Tis Aber. If you're afraid that Rosh Hashanah is going to turn out to be a 2-day Yantif, Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Eruvin. So what you do is you set up two Eruv Tchumen meals, the meals that will permit you to travel beyond the Tchum boundary. Va'omer, and this is what you say, Eruvi Barishon Lemizrach Ubesheni Lemarav. You say, my Eruv for the first day is to the east, my Eruv for the second day is to the west, or alternatively, if you want, you say, Barishon Lemarav Ubesheni Lemizrach. The first day is for the west, second day is for the east, that doesn't matter. Eruvi Barishon Ubesheni Kibnei Iri. Eruvi b'sheni u'barishon kibnei iri. You can say my eruv on the first day. I'm sorry, eruv b'rishon on the first day. It's my eruv. The second day I will be like the residents of the city, or my eruv is on the second day, and on the first day it's like the residents of the city. The point that he's making is that the Tanakhama is making, that Rabbi Yehuda is making here is you can transition your eruvin from one day of Rosh Hashanah to the next, and the reason that's important is because we have a classic debate about how we view Rosh Hashanah. Is Rosh Hashanah, when you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is it one Kedusha or is it two Kedushas? If it's one long day, then you can't play this Eruv game. Whatever's your Eruv for day one is your Eruv for day two. However, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I view Rosh Hashanah as two Kedushas. It's two separate sanctities, and therefore you can have an Eruv one day, no Eruv the next day, or Eruv in the east one day, Eruv in the west the second day. All of that is fine. And the Chacham disagree with him. That's one point of disagreement. Alex, yes, I agree.
No.
Okay. That's one point of disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. And then in Mishnah Ches, the Od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also says, Masna Adam Al HaKalkala, if you have a basket of fruit on the first day of Yom Tov, and it is Tevel, it hasn't been tithed. So he's now dealing still with Rosh Hashanah. He's not dealing with regular Yom Tov. He's dealing with Rosh Hashanah. So you want to tithe it. The problem is that you're not allowed to tithe it on Yom Tov. So he says you can make a condition for this kalkala letakna to, I added the word letakna, that's my word, to tithe it b'Yom Tov Rishon on the first day, v'ochla b'sheni, and then eat it on the second day. Meaning what you do is you say the following. Either today is really Yom Tov, in which case tomorrow is not, and therefore my tithing will take effect tomorrow. I'm not allowed to tithe on Yom Tov, because it's like I'm fixing it by making it usable. So what I do is, either I declare that I say either today is Yom Tov, and therefore it's not being tithed now, but the tithing takes effect tomorrow, and I'm going to eat it tomorrow, or today is really the day that's not Yom Tov, and therefore my tithing takes effect today, and therefore tomorrow I can eat it just fine. Either way, I'm not eating until tomorrow, because I won't know until then that my tithing has been successful. Follow? Okay. Today is Wednesday. That's not today's Thursday, but today's Wednesday. It's the first day of Yom Tov. I have a basket of fruit that is untithed. It's Tevel. So therefore I can't eat it. I also can't tithe it today if today's Yom Tov. So what I do is I say, all right, fine, I'm not going to have it today. I'm going to eat it tomorrow. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to separate off some of the produce today and say, this is the truma, this is the miser, whatever it has to be. And either it is effective today, because today really isn't Yom Tov. Tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov. Or tomorrow is, I don't remember which one I already said. Either today, Wednesday, is the right day of Yom Tov, in which case it's effective tomorrow, Thursday. Or tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov, in which case my tithing is effective today. But either way, once I hit tomorrow, I can eat it, because it's been tithed by then for sure. That's the first view. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Because once again, just like with Eruv, he says they're two different kedushas. You follow? V'chein, and so too. Beitza shenol debarishon te'achal b'sheni. If an egg is laid on the first day, so you can eat it on the second day. Because either the first day really was Yom Tov, in which case it was off-limits the first day, but it's mutter the next day, or the first day wasn't Yom Tov altogether, and therefore it's an egg that was laid on a Wednesday. And anybody can eat it, and certainly the next day I can eat it. So he's saying it's two different kedushos. V'lo ha'odu lo chachamim. And the chachamim disagreed with him on this too. So we have three different ways in which Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the chachamim regarding the sanctity of Yom Tov, right? Rabbi Yehuda simply says it's two different kedushos regarding Eruv, and regarding Truma Meiser, tithing, and regarding the egg that was laid on Yom Tov. So far, so good? Except we have a problem. Because if Rabbi Yehuda is of the belief that food that separates from something else is going to be food, uchla da'afras, and therefore it's mutter, right, like the juice that separates from the fruit that was intended for eating, then why is the egg off limits at all? Why don't I say the egg isn't off limits? So that's, look back in the Gemara now, for a minute, we are six lines up from the bottom. He throws this other source at it, and he says, "Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda also said, "Masna Adam al Kalkala shall peris b'yom tov rishon, va'ochla b'sheni." That you make this condition regarding the produce on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, saying that either it's tithe today or it's tithe tomorrow, and then you can eat it the second day. V'chein beitza shenol de b'rishon te'ochla b'sheni, and the egg that was laid on the first day can be eaten on the second day. End of quote. So he says, "B'sheni in b'rishon la." That the second day will let you do it, but the egg that's laid on Yom Tov is going to be usur that day. If you take a look at Rashi, B'sheni in B'rishon lo, five lines up from the bottom in Rashi, he says, Alma we see, Komidi dezav mimekomo b'Yom Tov, anything that flows from the place where it had been on Yom Tov, v'afilu uchla, even if it is food, solid food, usur, is off limits. So my problem is, Rabbi Yehuda. That's my problem, is Rabbi Yehuda, not my problem, it's Rabbi Yochanan's problem. It has nothing to do with us in our discussion yet. But Rabbi Yochanan objects to this apparent contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Umishani, and Rabbi Yochanan offers an answer. Umishani Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Mukhlefes Hashita. He says, the answer is that the view is flipped. What do you mean? We'll take Rashi for now to explain what Mukhlefes Hashita means. Rashi says, "Mishani Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes Hashita." Three lines up from the bottom, "Shitas HaMishnah De'ein Sochtin." He means the view of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah in Shabbos about not squeezing. The answer is what you thought was Rabbi Yehuda was actually the Chachamim. The Chachamim are the ones who are the lenient ones there. Rabbi Yehuda is the strict one who believes that indeed it will be off limits. That we don't say, "Well, it's food, and therefore it's not like juice coming out of a fruit." That's the way that that Rabbi Yochanan resolves it, as understood by Rashi. But the point for us is the next line in the Gemara: "Umita kamarami lehu ahadadi." From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan challenged one source from the other here, "Shmami nachad tamo," we see that he believes that they are of one logic. And let me explain what I mean by that. If Rabbi Yochanan believed that the reason why the egg is off limits is not about juice coming out of a fruit and so on, if he believed the reason was muktza nolad or hachana dirava,
couldn't have asked the question to begin with.
Then there would be no contradiction. Because I would look at these two sources, and I would say, yeah, in the Chanami, in the Gemara in Shabbos, in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about juicing fruit. In the Mishnah in Erevin, he's talking about eggs as muktza, nolad, hachana, you know, like fruit falling off a tree. It's the two things have nothing to do with each other. The only reason why Rabbi Yochanan has a problem with Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yehuda is because he believes that the logic is the same regarding juicing fruit and the egg coming out of the chicken. That's what the Gemara is doing here. That's that's how we prove that Rabbi Yochanan clearly must have supported Rabbi Yitzchak in this. Okay? We're going to pause there in the Gemara because there's too much stuff going on here. Before we can go further, this issue of Mukhlefes Hashita, the idea that the views should be reversed, right, is not clear-cut. We read Rashi's view, which is nice, but it's not the only view. Rashi's view, again, was to flip the Mishnah in Shabbos. What would have happened if we would have flipped the Mishnah in Erevin instead? The Mishnah in Erevin was the one that said that Beis HaShanol de Barishan Teyacha B'Sheni, right? Rabbi Yehuda says you can eat the egg on the second day of Yom Tov.
So you say he doesn't hold like that, right? Or no, right?
Well, what would Rabbi Yehuda end up saying then? If Rabbi Yehuda becomes the Chachamim,
they would become the Chachamim in the latter.
And what was the position of the Chachamim?
They, well,
you've been stating the position of Chachamim is that they're arguing if it's Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedusha.
Exactly, and therefore, what will their position be?
So their position would be what?
Shtei.
What is the view of the Chachamim here that Rabbi Yehuda would now be adopting?
Is Kedusha
Achas, and therefore the egg is off limits both days.
Right.
The reason why Rashi says that the flipped position has to be the one in Shabbos is because if you flip the one in Erev, it makes Rabbi Yehuda stricter, not more lenient. It won't reconcile the two sources. Our problem was that Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos should be staking out the lenient view, because he said that juice can be taken from fruit as long as it's there for food. Right. He was taking a lenient view, and we were bothered that in Erev that he's taking the strict view, the egg is off limits, but putting him with the Chachamim only makes it worse.
Does the Gemara in Erev explain the Machlokes as being Kedusha Achas?
Yes.
As not possible.
It's clearly Kedusha Achas.
It's not an argument in Braver, for example.
Right. That's why I brought you both Mishnahs. You can see it begins really in Mishnah Zion, where they start the Shnei Kedushos Kedusha Achas discussion. And it's just an outgrowth of the
Purush.
Yeah, they do. Otherwise, why are you having a Machlokas about Braver and Shnei
Kedusha? Maybe it's a Machlokas in Braver.
Right, so it's not. It's not really Braver. No, because he's making the statement from the start. It doesn't depend on what happens.
Right, it's not a Braver, right.
Correct. So that's why Rashi does what he does. And here we're going to see something in Tosfos, which, you know, do you want a dry paper?
No.
Okay. So I got a spare. The reason I bring this is twofold. Number one, because it's important to look at when they do things like flipping sources and so on, to really understand what they're doing. But second, because along the way, we're going to get an insight into the history of Tosfos that I think is very worth knowing. So we're looking at Tosfos Rabbi Yochanan Amar Muchlefes Hashita, the bottom Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, he quotes you Rashi. Pirush Rashi Muchlefes Hahid Ein Sochtin. Rashi said that Muchlefes is referring to the Mishnah in Shabbos, the one about squeezing. The Yafe Pirush, he says, yeah, that's right. Dal Kerchach Tzarech Lefarish Hachi. He says you have to say that for the reason we just gave. Dein Lefarish Epo Hahid Kalkala. You can't say reverse the one with the basket, meaning the one in Erevin with the basket to tie. Dein Kain. Kol Shekain Dekasha Mid Rabbi Yehuda LeRabbi Yehuda, then certainly you'll have a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Sheyas Rabbi Yom Tov Sheni. Now he's going to prohibit it not only on the first day, but also on the second day. Da Rabbanan Depligi Ale Amri Kedusha Achasi, because the Rabbanan who disagree with him say it's one long Kedusha. The Imkain I Amrinan Epoch Asr Afilu Yom Tov Sheni. If you're going to say we should flip it, then it's going to be Asr not only on the first day, but also on the second day. That didn't help you. So he says it has to be so. Okay. He then says, Vitema. But I have a problem. My problem is, Daha Rabbi Yochanan Gufay, it should be Gufay, Pasig Leperak Chavis, Daha Lacha Kerabi Yehuda Bishar Peros, Aval Zesim Va'anavim Lo. He says, I have a problem because Rabbi Yochanan himself is going to rule in that Gemara in Shabbos, commenting on what we had as our first source on our mission in Shabbos. He's going to say the law follows Rabbi Yehuda by other peros, but not by grapes and olives. Zezim banavim lo. Amad lo svirle de muchlepes hashita. Obviously, he doesn't believe the positions are reversed because he's quoting the position in Shabbos that distinguishes between grapes and olives and other fruits as Rabbi Yehuda's position. So he doesn't believe that they're flipped. What do I do? V'yesh lomar, so you could say this. D'Rabbi Yochanan ka'amar, l'fi divrei osam ha'amoraim, d'lo savri muchlefes hashita. So the answer could be that Rabbi Yochanan knows that we're going to see on Gimel Amud Beis that there are other views that say you can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda without flipping the view. And he's saying, within your view that you don't flip it, l'divreichem ha'chihu, within your view it's Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. V'hachi nirali kemeduma. And he says, so it appears to me, I imagine. It's kind of a funny hedge there. Like someone says to you, definitely, for sure, maybe. So appears to me, I think. But then he gives you the following. Ubishitas me'ivra. When he says shitas me'ivra, I will tell you he's referring to a Baal HaTosos from London. Rabbi Moshe ben Yom Tov of London. We're going to come back to him in a moment. But this Baal HaTosos of London, it's too bad Michael's off at the movies. Michael, I hope you're listening. You got a British Baal HaTosos. He says, Ubeshitas me'ivra tirates demuchlepes. I would read it with an accent, but I can't. The tirates demuchlepes hashita hi osa de kalkala. He says, no. It's the case involving the basket meaning the one in Erevin, that's the one that's reversed. Rabbi Yehuda lidivrehem derabbanan ka'amar lehu. And Rabbi Yehuda, when he spoke in that case, was not speaking in terms of his own perspective. He was saying, within your view, meaning, lididi, according to me, afilu biyom harishon mutarin, even on the first day, it's mutar. The egg is permitted entirely because I believe that it's ukhladafras, it's solid food and so on, right? Do ukhladafrasu. Ulididchu, but according to you, dasrisu nolad, you say it's off limits because it is nolad, it was born today, ba'ide in sochtin, in that discussion back in Shabbos, so afilu biyom davasheni asur, according to you, since you say it's asur day one, I believe that it should be asur day two also because it'll be kedusha achas. So that's the way that he would that he resolves the problem. And then he goes on a little further, but I'm going to stop with that because what I wanted to show you was, number one, you have to be careful with your mechlepas hashitas, there's more than one way to take it. But number two is this Baal HaTosfos from London. Take a look on your sheet at Source Gimel. The Rav Yah is a key Rishon, who is relatively unknown because his manuscripts did not get published far and wide the way like Ramban, Ritva, and so on. He's earlier, I think, than them. But it was published. This is from his commentary on Brachos, and it's actually from a note by Rav Chaim Nosson Dumbitzer. On it. Rav Chaim Nosson Dumbitzer is a 19th century Rav in Poland. And look what he does here. This is a footnote in which he's discussing the history of the Baal HaTosfos and specifically the British ones. So I gave you the Hebrew books link because I didn't quote the entire thing here. It involved a lot of retyping because the OCR on it wasn't very good. So I stopped at a certain point. But he says, Ubederech Agav, along the way he says, Amarti lahair ozen hakorim. I decided that I would awaken the ears of the readers. Ki harav rabbeinu mem, ze, shehevi v'tosfos sham dir masa v'helchasai, referring to a certain Tosfos there, that just quotes a resh mem. He says, Einenu Rabbeinu Meir Hayadua. He says, some people might think it's Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir is one of Rashi's three sons-in-law. He has in parentheses, Chasno Shel Rashi Zal, Va'aviyam Shel Shloshes Ha'achim Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam V'Rivam. Rabbeinu Meir is the father of these three Baal HaTosfos, Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rivam. Good. So he says, it's not that one. Shenizker al harog betosos b'chol makom gamkin b'shem Rabbi Meir stam, although he often does get identified that way, as Rishmem. Ukvar noda shechiber tosfos al haTalmud. And the truth is, we do know that Rabbeinu Meir was one of the Baal HaTosfos. He authored commentary that was in the Baal HaTosfos. Kmo shekasav Rabbeinu Tam b'no b'sefer HaYashar shalah. If you read Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam, he mentions that his father is indeed an author of Comments of Tosfos. Just, I think you probably all know, but in case you haven't seen it, I should give one word of introduction to this. The Tosfos that we have on the page in the Gemara are not the comments of all of the Baal HaTosfos. They were selected. There were collections of the works of the Tosfos in various communities. There's the Tosfos Tuch, the Tosfos Shans, and so on. So that you can actually identify sometimes that the Tosfos that we have on certain Mesechtos come from certain volumes or from certain geographic regions. So when he says that Rabbeinu Meir wrote some comments of Tosfos, there may be comments you won't see on the daf. Okay. But he says, V'ayim mizeh b'shem ha'gedolim chelek beiz be'erech Tosfos. Look in the Shem HaGedolim. Shem HaGedolim was written by the Chidah, I think, if I remember correctly, and it's biography of some of the great Rishonim. V'ulam, harabein harish mem zeh shebekan, hu rabbeinu Moshe mei Ivra. He says this Tosfos that he's referring to, Rish mem is actually Rabbi Moshe of Ivra, which is this Rabbi Moshe who I mentioned from London. K'mo shekasav haMordechai bePirkin, as the Mordechai wrote in that parak in Brachos, v'lo nizker gamkin betosfos b'divrei Maskil Tov b'shem rabbeinu Moshe mei, I don't know what that place is, Alula. But he says he's also there, he's quoted as Rabbeinu Moshe from such and such a place. Valaro, b'shem Rabbeinu Moshe mei Ivra, that lamed should be a resh. It's Ivra, that was just my mistake, I didn't catch that. Kemo brachos mevav mebeiz and so on. But then he says what caught my eye. Avostam Rabbeinu Moshe, Sheviu betosus brachos sel perakitzen mevarchim b'dira maschil dechanakte. He says when Rabbeinu Moshe is quoted in Tosos in Brachos in the sixth perak, v'med de pasak de hashosim mayim shlo lirvos tzimono enu mevarch lo lefana v'lo la'achra. This Rabbeinu Moshe gives an interesting ruling. He says if you drink water not because you're thirsty but just to drink it, you don't make a bracha. Not before, not after. That's his position there, this Rabbeinu Moshe. So he says, you know who that is? Shambal karchach kavanasam al ha-Rambam. He says, that's the Rambam. Tosvos, in Brachos, is quoting the Rambam. To me, that's jarring.
Because where do you see it? Where other place do you see it?
There's one more place, I thought. There was somebody.
So he has a couple of places where he believes that Tosos actually quotes the Rambam. It sort of turns your idea of what's going on its head. Like, you think of them as being siloed. You have the Ashkenazim here, and you have the Sephardim here, at least during that period of time when the Crusades are going on. Later, we know, like, the Mordechai is Ashkenaz, but he mentions the Rambam. But at this stage, it was jarring to me when I saw this. Like, oh, Tosus was the Rambam.
As far as we can tell, he didn't have the Rambam.
And apparently not. Remember, Tosus isn't the he. Right? So there are Balei HaTosfos, right? There are Balei HaTosfos who have access to the Rambam. That's what he's telling you.
Unless they had a tshuva that was letters were sent.
When did the period of Tosfot end? It was sometime in the 1200s.
Yes.
There was the burning of the Rambam's books in Paris. 12 something, right?
Yeah. 1240 is the Gemara in Paris, so it's earlier than that. But he writes.
When does he get banned?
Well, that's not the question of when he is banned. I don't know. And I don't know where geographically, because the Balei HaTosfos on Brachos, he also says in this footnote, I don't think I brought it here, but he believes that in general the British Balei HaTosfos are the ones on Brachos. So they are going to have a different... They're not in France, with all the Rabbanim of northern France and that whole fight that's going on. They're not off in Spain. I don't know what's going on in England, other than the fact that they have to be 13th century because they get kicked out of England in 1290. But that's what he writes here. So I thought you'd appreciate seeing this. So he continues to say, he says the Mordechai makes a note of that there. He says, look in the Rambam. That's right. He says explicitly this ruling regarding drinking water. Veda, and he says, you should know, Degan Harav Rabbeinu Moshe Meivra Chiber Tosfos Al HaTalmud V'Nizkarim. He says this Rabbeinu Moshe also authored Tosfos, and they are mentioned. V'lo Od, not only that, he says, Ela Shebarur Be'enai Shegam Kol Stam Rabbeinu Moshe Shenizkar B'chol Makom B'Tosfos Shalafanenu Ubo Devar B'der Shakla V'Tariya B'Sugyas Hashas. He says, if you see a Tosfos quote Rabbeinu Moshe, and as part of a back and forth about a Sugya, which isn't Rambam style, right? The Rambam doesn't do back and forth about Sugyos. So he says, Hakavana Rakal Rabbeinu Moshe Meivraze V'lo Al HaRambam. He says, that can't be the Rambam. That's got to be this Rabbeinu Moshe, because it's not the Rambam style. But it's a very interesting sort of comment here, so I wanted to bring that to the table. Okay. So what emerges from our piece here is, excuse me, that Rabbi Yochanan is on the side of Rabbi Yitzchak, based on his read of what's going on in this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. However, Gemara loves tangents, and so we now are going to go a little bit afield into this apparent machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yochanan said, I've answered for you. Rabbi Yochanan's resolution to the problem was to say that we should flip one of the sources. Rashi said it's the one in Shabbos. Rabbeinu Moshe Meivra said it's the one in Erevin. But that was his way of reconciling them. If you flip onto Gimel Amud Beis, you find Ravina Amar Laolam Lo Tepoch. Ravina says there's no need to flip sources. I can give you a different answer. Rabbi Yehuda, Geiger counter.
Acting up all the time. I put on silent and still making the noise.
Okay. No, it's a mechanical thing. It's not. You won't be able to silence it. That's mechanical.
But it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. But it is.
Probably crashed.
It sounds like a hard drive spinning. But
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Make sure the new one's a BlackBerry. the Ravina Omar, La'olam lo tepoch. So Ravina's answer is, don't flip Shabbos or Erevin. Rabbi Yehuda l'divrehem derabanan ka'amar lohu. Rabbi Yehuda was speaking within the position of the Rabbanan here, meaning in the one in Erevin.
So that's where he got it from. Okay.
Yes. If you read through to the end of Tosfos here, he actually asks, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that? And he offers an answer. But he says, Lididi, within my view, Afilu Barisho Nami Sharia, De Uchla De Afrasu. Ravina says that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying to the Rabbanan is, frankly, within my view, as I established in Shabbos, I believe it's food. I don't think that there's an issue here. It's not like it's not a problem of you're worried with. As long as juice is into food, it's fine, and the egg is going to be fine too. Ela lididchu, but according to you, oduli mihas, at least you should admit to me the b'sheni sharia the shtei kedushos ein. You should admit that it's mutter on day two because these are two kedushos. To which va'amile rabbanan, the rabbanan came back and said, "Well, not true. Kedusha achasi, that is actually a single kedusha." And then the last answer, Ravina Breidu of Ula Amar, Ravina Breidu of Ula answers, Hacha betarnegoles homedes legadol beitzim. He says, no, I'll give you an easier answer. We're talking about here a chicken that is meant for raising eggs, and therefore it's not food. Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh the islay muktza. Remember that Rabbi Yehuda is stricter in muktza than Rabbi Shimon is, right? And Rabbi Yehuda's answer is that the reason why it's off limits, even though I believe it's ochel, I established in Shabbos that ochel is fine. However, because it came out of a chicken that wasn't intended for eating, therefore it is not food either, and therefore it is muktza. That is the third answer that's offered. So what we had this was just tangential. Now we're going to go back to our discussion, but we got sidetracked because we used this Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yehuda to try to show that Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who brought up the problem, believes that the issue is juice coming from fruit. Once we mention this issue of kedusha achas shtei kedushos, whether Rosh Hashanah is one Kedusha or two Kedushas. So I wanted to just go a little bit further with that, just to explore that, because it's too good a topic to just let it, bring it up and then drop it, because the sugya ended. So, going back to what we saw in Source Base, we had Rabbi Yehuda taking the position that it's Shtei Kedushas, as far as issues like Eruv and tithing, and the status of the egg, and the Hachamim not. This has ramifications for what we do, right? The Shulchan Aruch brings it in terms of using something, from the first day on the second day. If it was off limits on day one, is it still off limits on day two? Like the egg, but it comes up on Rosh Hashanah, right? Why do we have a new fruit on the second night of Rosh Hashanah or a new garment? Yeah. So we can justify the Shechianu, because we're not sure whether it's one day or 2 days, and if we don't know whether it's Shechianu or not, so if you have your new fruit, you have your new garments, then you've justified having making a Shechianu. That's the idea. The origin of this is Source Dalet on your sheet, the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah. Barishona hayu mekablen edus hachodesh kol hayom. The original practice was that they would sit there all day long on what they thought was going to be either the 30th day of Elul or the 1st of Tishrei, but they expected it to be the 1st of Tishrei, because as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, it was exceedingly, exceedingly rare that they ever had a 30-day Elul. It was always a 29-day Elul. You have like one example in the Gemara, and the Gemara actually says from the days of Ezra forward there was never any such thing, but we have one example in the Gemara, so it means it was never any such thing except when there was. But it was exceedingly rare that you would ever have a 30 day Elul. So they would sit there. Why are you so surprised?
How did we get to?
Sorry?
How did we get to?
So that's exactly this Mishnah. I'm glad you asked. So the Mishnah says that on this day that is supposed to become the first day of Tishrei, they would sit there waiting for witnesses to show up to say, we saw the new moon. Right? Keep in mind the way things work. When the moon is actually new, you don't see anything. Right? You need a telescope to see anything. Then technically there should be a cusp that you can see. But you're not going to see anything. It's only hours later. So they're sitting there and waiting for someone to finally see a sign of the new moon. And once, the witnesses were late. V'niskalkalu ha-Levi'im b'shir. And the song of Levi'im got corrupted. The Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah, says they didn't sing Shira at all, because they didn't know what to sing. Is this Rosh Hashanah or is this Wednesday? Or, you know, whatever, not Wednesday, because Lo Adu Rosh. But they didn't know what they should do. So they didn't end up singing anything at all. Hiskinu, which is bad, because your karban is not accepted if they don't sing. The Shira is a requirement. So Hiskinu shelo yuhu mekablen ela ad hamincha. So they said, fine, from now on, only until mincha, till the afternoon, and at that point that's the cutoff. If the witnesses don't show up, then the next day is going to be Rosh Hashanah, and the imbo idim and hamincha ulamala, if witnesses show up after that, noogin osayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh, we would say that today is treated as Rosh Hashanah, and tomorrow is treated as Rosh Hashanah. Because otherwise people are not going to take things seriously.
So what do people do when they have to wait that day? I mean, they're only coming toward the evening, right?
Yeah.
So you would not Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov, or people?
No, you have to sit and wait.
You just sit and wait. People wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't, you know.
So you wouldn't
be able to. You would just treat it like as if it was Yom Tov, I suppose.
Yes. Right. It's very awkward, obviously. But that's what they describe.
I was wondering, what do you know?
Yeah.
You just go around until the trumpet sounds and then stop.
What trumpet?
No, I meant.
The question is, what are you doing? You blowing shofar? You're not blowing shofar?
Right, that's what
Maybe that's why the chazanim take so long. They're sitting here. So he says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakash, Yumakablan Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so at that point there's no issue of Shira anymore. So then he said, so take the testimony of the witnesses whenever they show up, it doesn't make a difference. So so first of all, in terms of the 30-day Elul being rare, so why did they get, why were they in trouble? So the Minchas Chinuch on this says that the lack of Edim showing up by the afternoon is itself a Reyesa. It's a sign that maybe things are wrong, and this is going to be the year that there's actually a 30-day Elul. Because if things were normal, then witnesses would have showed up by now. That's one answer. Rav Wozner, in his Shevet Halevi, offers a different answer, which I think is an intriguing one. He says, it's because it's true, you're right, the majority of years will see a 29-day Elul. However, you can't bring a karban based on rov. Bringing a karban for Yom Tov requires the kedusha of the day, which requires that witnesses show up and that they make this official declaration. The rov is good enough to tell people when they do malacha and don't do malacha. Rov isn't good enough for a karban. If you want to see the shu'at Shevet Halevi, it's chelak aleph kuf chaf ches is the tshuva. In terms of what they did in Yerushalayim, once they got to the point of the fixed calendar, that's actually a machlokes. The Ramban says 2 days, and the Baal HaMor says 1 day. But take a look at this Or Zeruah, please. Source A. The Or Zeruah looks at this issue of Kedusha Achas and Shtei Kedushos, and he says, V'nira li l'taris. Or Zeruah, remember, is a Risha. He's also early. And he says, it appears to me that we should explain, Shein tam shtei kedushos to Rosh Hashanah, dome le tam shtei kedushos to Shabbos v'Yom Tov. He says, there is shtei kedushos when you have Yom Tov on a Sunday. Right? So Shabbos, and then Yom Tov. That's two separate kedushos. One is Shabbos, one is Yom Tov. He says, even if you're going to say that 2 day Rosh Hashanah is shtei kedushos, it's not like that. What do you mean? Man da amar kedusha achas hein. The one who says that Rosh Hashanah is one long kedusha, savar lav mishum speka avdilu, says that it's not about a doubt that's causing us to have 2 days. Shareim bo edim min amincha ulamala noagin oso yom kodesh. Aval bishia du av beber shu chol. Ulamachar Kodesh, because if witnesses show up in the afternoon, we still say that first day is treated as holy, even though we know that we're declaring the next day to be Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, we're going to do it, and the next day will be holy. So it's not 2 days because we're not sure what to do. In Kain Chumra the Rabbanan he Laso Shnei Yamim. It's simply a gezera of the Rabbanan. The rabbi said, we are keeping 2 days. V'nolda bazeh asur bazeh dekiyoma richtadami. Because, and therefore the egg laid on the first day is asur on the second day also, because it's one long day. It's not suffake. It's not doubt. You follow? It's one long day. Aval Shabbos v'yom tov.
Right. So there are certain differences, right?
Right. No, that's true. You can't create a deal.
Right.
That's absolutely true. However, it's not a double day out of doubt where I'll say that maybe the first day is Kodesh and the second day is Chol, or vice versa. Both days are Kodesh. This is the way the rabbis decreed that there will be 2 days of Kedusha. Ah, the Torah only says the first day of the seventh month? Okay. No. Now it's the first and second day of the seventh month. Or the 30th day of the previous month and the first day of the new month if you actually had a 30-day Elul. But he says either way, it's going to be kept that way. It's going to be a 2-day Yom Tov, which is one long Kedusha, such that the egg laid on the first day is going to be usher on day 2 as well. And he continues to say, Aval, Shabbos v'Yom Tov ein lomar echad mehen chol. But you wouldn't say on Shabbos and Yom Tov that one of them is a weekday. Shishnam Kodesh, one is Shabbos, one is Yom Tov. They're both holy. Ela b'hak kamiflagi Rabbanan Rabbi Eliezer. But there is this debate between Rabbanan Rabbi Eliezer and the discussion there in Rosh Hashanah. The Rabbanan actually no, I'm sorry, it's a discussion later in Beitzah. The Rabbanan Savri, Kevan de'ein chol mafrid beinehen kedusha achazein. The view of the Rabbanan is, there's no weekday in between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore they have one Kedusha. Ukiyoma Aricha Dami. It's like one long day. Eno Yachol Aniach Shnei Erevin Kiyom Erev Echol Shnei Yomim. And therefore you can't do 2 Erev Tchumen, one on this part of the city and one on that part of the city. Rabbi Lazar, Af Agav Deshneim Kedusha Vein Chol Mafrid Beinayim. And Rabbi Lazar will say, even though they're both holy and there's no weekday in between them, Mikomakom Zekadosh La'atzmo V'Zekadosh La'atzmo, this one has its Kedusha, this one has its Kedusha, Shezei Yikari Shabbos V'Zei Yikari Yom Tov, this one is Shabbos, this one's Yom Tov, V'Shtei Kedusha Zein Lo Kari Chodami, and they're 2 different Kedushas. What the Or HaZeruah is getting at here, and with this we'll finish, but what the Or HaZeruah is getting at here is that there are 3 different possibilities, fundamentally, for how I view these Kedushos. One possibility is the Yom Tov model like we have, in which one is the real one and one is the doubt one. Okay, that's Shtei Kedushos for sure. They're not one long day. Second is Shabbos leading into Yom Tov or Yom Tov leading into Shabbos. Those are 2 separate Kedushos, because one is Shabbos and one is Yom Tov. However, they may be viewed as one long day because there's no chol in between.
Well, certainly Rosh Hashanah does not chol between its 2 days.
Well, we get to Rosh Hashanah. Right now that's Shabbos and Yom Tov. So he says Shabbos and Yom Tov may be viewed as one long day halachically because there's no gap in between them.
So basically, no Yom Tov, Shabbos is...
Well, they also on Yom Tov the next day. That's exactly right. And then you have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which, according to this formulation, are one long day, not because of any doubts. There were no doubts, whatever. It's clear both days have the status of Yom Tov, and they're one long day because they are a product of a rabbinic decree that you shall observe one long day, 2 days as one day. So these are...
In fact, if some sefer, doesn't the some sefer really pick up on this with medicine on the second day Shavuot? Shavuot is not a suffix either.
Well, that's another issue, the second day Yom Tov medication.
But when we mention 2 days Yom Tov, we're really excluding Shuas, really, according to some views.
Well,
Shuas is not a
Shuas. Correct. But in general, we're making on the second day of Yom Tov for medicine, true, because we have speculations about why medicine should be
right.
But not necessarily
right.
Second day Rosh Hashanah. We might not be making, or we still be making.
No, right, so second day of Rosh Hashanah, he'll say we will not be making it, because
it's not a furrow, it's like a second day Yom Tov, you can do a furrow.
Right, you wouldn't do a furrow second day.
Actually, no, I take that back. We would not be, it's still a function of the Rabbanan. The only thing that we gain that we add by calling it one long Kedusha is that the egg laid on the first day is just as us are on day 2. If someone brings a product to you from outside of Tchum on day 1, it's just as us are for you on day 2. Things like that. Because there's been no disruption. it's one long day. But I think in terms of other pieces of it, we'll still say it's a derabanan. I think it still remains as a derabanan. Lamaisa, in practice, the Piskei Halacha are that it's one Kedusha. We view Rosh Hashanah as one Kedusha. And hence the question about why we're doing a Shachianu on the second night, and that's why we have the new fruit, and that's why we have the new garment, and so on. Because we really believe that it's considered one Kedusha. But this idea that the Or Zarua points to is worth, at some point, a shiur in its own right. This idea of why we have two Kedusha, of do I look at the origin of the days as determining whether it's two or one? In which case, Shabbos and Yom Tov are two separate Kedushos? Or do I look at whether there's ever a drop in between of Chol? In which case, Shabbos and Yom Tov are one Kedusha because there's no gap in between. That's what determines whether I'm going to say Shabbos Yom Tov is two Kedushas or one. All right. Good enough for now. God willing, we continue next week at 9 o'clock.
Shalom Aleichem. If it's right. One Kedusha, then why you say in front of Shabbos, you say Shalom Aleichem once, but you have to say twice. Some people say
that.
Right?
No, right.
Just
say that. And that's
the question. You're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov.
Right.
You're still saying some kind of heifer.
Right, you say Kodesh LaKodesh. So maybe there's Shabbos and there's Yom Tov and Delta.
Right, so there's no chol in between. Yet we somehow distinguish. The Kiddush seems to indicate there's two kind of kedushas. There, not one kedusha has it like there.
It's still like a kedusha.
Yom Tov comes from. It comes from us.
From Beis Din.
I have difficulty understanding the Rabbanan Sabra. According to Or Zarua, the Rabbanan Sabra, given the whole Mafri B'Neim, Kedusha Tachasim, given the Ein Chol Mafri B'Neim. Shabbos is Shabbos, Yom Tov is Yom Tov.
Doesn't matter. You never enter a period where there's a lack of Kedusha.
No, but we know.